Welcome back to Near FM and the Lifeline programme. I'm your host, Myra Gleeson, and I'm absolutely delighted to introduce my guest, Jill Lush. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Myra. Thanks for having me on. It's great to hear from you.
Well, we're absolutely delighted you're here this morning to chat about your business. You specialise in digital marketing. Jill, you're actually, I think, the managing director of the company, aren't you?
I am indeed. I was going to say, you can call me many things, owner, CEO, managing director. Yes, I'm all of the above, the main owner.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I hope I'm pronouncing it, Lush Marketing.
Lush, yeah, Lush Marketing. So basically what we are is a marketing agency. So we started out small and we work with small and medium businesses because obviously that's what we are ourselves and that is what we work with. But what we offer is marketing outsourcing services predominantly. So where a small or medium business need help with marketing projects, we step in basically and can help on a short, medium or long-term basis. And that goes all the way up to actually being the marketing department for some businesses, from a senior level right down to a junior level. We can obviously strategize and help from that perspective, but also roll up the sleeves and get stuck in and do everything from the online marketing, from email marketing and social media management, right up to kind of the PR element, etc., with offline marketing. And also what we offer, Myra, is marketing training. So some people out there may have been trained by me on various courses around the country, marketing related, and also marketing mentoring and strategy work. So we have quite a few strings to the bow, which is great.
And how long is Lush Marketing been in business, Jill?
Yeah, great question. So this is our fifth year, Myra. Oh. In September, we turn five. So yeah, and actually my daughter is also five, so I keep following her milestones, basically. So started not long after my daughter was born. And yeah, so 5 years in, and everyone says if you survive your first 5 years, you're doing well. So hopefully we come through for another five and more beyond after that with a bit of luck.
No, I'm just, well, that's absolutely brilliant. My goodness. What's your daughter's name, Jill, please?
My daughter's name is Kerry.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Now, get back to business. What are the common marketing related problems that you come across when working with businesses?
Yeah, so there's many problems that I do obviously come across with businesses. So whether they're startup or whether they're long established, there's some quite common issues that shine through. One of the most common, I think, is not actually knowing your target customer. So what I would typically work with when I start working with the customer is really drilling down and understanding who are they trying to reach with their product or service. And when we've done that, I often hate when working with customers and they say to me, everyone is my customer, because it's very few businesses can genuinely say that. So we try to nail it down to anything from 3 to 4 kind of target customer types or personas or categories. They get called many different things. And from that, then we can then, I suppose, lay the foundations for a correct marketing strategy and actually plan the marketing then ahead for the business. So that would probably be one of the most common failure points, I suppose, with some businesses, is not really knowing their target customer. We're not even trying to kind of get to know them properly and doing kind of the correct forms of market research to find out. Because then the spin-off from that then, Myra, if they don't know who their target customer is that they're then often on maybe the wrong social media platform, or the content is not hitting the right notes, etc., in marketing. So it's a lot of, I suppose, time and effort and money often in a lot of cases just spent incorrectly, I suppose. So that would be the main thing I'd come across.
And that's the most important thing, because absolutely, it is the most important. How did you end up running your own company and a marketing agency? And do you have a team working with you? Because 5 years, that's a lot of tough work.
Yes, it is indeed. So I suppose just in terms of background for myself, many moons ago, I went to DCU, Dublin City University, and studied business with marketing. So I knew that my passion, I suppose, was in the marketing area. And I suppose I worked in industry for years, in and out of kind of business and marketing related fields. And then the opportunity then arose actually not long after I fell pregnant with my daughter. I was offered redundancy from the career that I was in, and I embraced the opportunity. had my daughter and then said, right, time to get started. So started the business in 2017 and kind of topped up my own kind of qualifications from that in the digital marketing area. Studied with the Digital Marketing Institute and obviously keep up the CPD hours and all that good stuff. But I suppose in terms of then on from that, then the business had been taken over for a few years and the opportunity arose around this time last year. I was approached and asked, would I like to take an intern from TU Dublin? And I didn't actually hesitate because I just thought actually now is the right time. I'm kind of ready to take someone under the wing and to help, I suppose, a student, because we all have to start somewhere in the world of interning. And I took on a wonderful girl called Anya. And Anya actually remained on with me. She actually stayed on as a part-time employee with Lush Marketing. So, yes, now I do have a team working with me, albeit it is part-time, but I'm hoping to obviously grow on from that then and take on kind of I suppose various staff members with various, I suppose, specialisms. And Anya actually does quite a lot of the social media for Lush Marketing. So a lot of the posts that are out there, including she does lovely motivational tips on a Monday and things like that in terms of quotes. If you have a look there today, I'm sure she's got some great ones up there. And I know she has been posting already actually today. So, yeah, so in terms of that's what we do, that's, I suppose, the journey I've been on in terms of had always had the ambition to grow the business beyond being just myself. And obviously it's going to be slow, but it is happening and it's great to actually see it happening. So long may that grow.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, I was going to ask you what keeps you awake at night. And I mean, I know COVID, of course, hit us all when it started first. But what would be something that might just keep you awake at night?
Apart from the full moons with the child waking and things like that, I suppose the typical things that would keep me awake at night actually is I'm very passionate about working with the customers that I work with. And in the world of marketing, often, particularly if I'm in the initial few months of a contract working with a customer or even few weeks, I find that I have their business and their issues, I suppose, going around in my head and I'm thinking through them. And often it's when you're literally like that with meant to be nothing else in your mind that I have like the light bulb moments of, yeah, this is what we need to do next. And I'm kind of thinking through problems kind of in that sleep into dream worlds nearly sometimes. But yeah, I think it's more down to the fact if I'm quite passionate in working with the customers that I work with, that I don't just forget about them when I hang up the phone or when we hang up from a meeting or anything like that, or when I close my email. I typically have things kind of mulling through my mind and I keep kind of going through in my mind, I suppose, what's kind of happening for the customer and what are the potentially great things that we can do in terms of the marketing for them. So I suppose that would be typically kind of one of the things that would keep me awake at night, but it's not terribly onerous or anything to that effect. But yeah, but I do, I suppose, overthink things sometimes.
It is. You actually have two babies, haven't you, really?
I do.
Yes,
absolutely.
You do. What values do you bring to your business? I mean, it is your, as we just said there, it is your baby and you've created this. So what values do you bring to your business?
Great question, Myra, actually. Yeah. So in terms of values, this is something that I would also work with a lot of customers on. So typically in terms of when you go to market your business, it's important to know what your core values or brand values, as we call them, are. And for myself with Lush Marketing, I would call out four of them typically in terms of honesty, integrity, knowledge and trust. And how I explain to people that I'm working with is that without those four foundations or pillars or building blocks of the business, then my business doesn't exist. So if I don't have honesty, and if you pull that away, that's the business knocked down, essentially. So when I say that to customers as well, they start to kind of think through in their own mind of what really resonates strongly with them. And often what I find actually is that your personal values sometimes do overlap actually with your brand values. So similarly for myself, personally, honesty, integrity, knowledge and trust probably are my core personal values as well, but they're very strong, to be fair, for Lush Marketing as well. So they're hugely important, I think, in terms of once you know your values, then you can obviously communicate that out to your customers. You can portray that through your branding, whether that be through logo, whether it be what you do, what you say, and all of the content, I suppose, in terms of content marketing. So it's something that I do work with customers on, and when I do work on that with them, I can see kind of the light bulb moments kind of shining through, and it's like they have that new kind of direction or sense of direction, I suppose, with the business. It's actually quite rewarding to watch, actually, as a marketer, but also as a mentor as well. If I'm mentoring people, it can be great to actually see that shine through, that they actually can nail their own values. And certainly I'd share a list of words that might help them kind of focus in terms of creating categories of values for themselves. But always a really important part, I feel anyway, in terms of the foundations of the business, but the foundations of the marketing for the business as well, is knowing those brand values and calling them out, I suppose.
I think if you lose those, Jill, those honesty, integrity, knowledge and trust, I think if you lose those four, I don't think you get them back. If you lose them.
No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And especially like that even with trust as well, because obviously when I'm working with customers, a huge trust is established in terms of maybe the information that they share with me. And I suppose placing their marketing function in my hands as well is a hugely, I suppose it's, they're trusting me to do that for them. So if I breach that, which I thankfully haven't, touched wood, to date, and hopefully never do, then you're right, Myra, yeah, that would definitely, I suppose, impact on the business, and it would certainly question it as a value, I suppose, if it was broken.
Well, just moving on from that, Jill, what do you do to keep improving yourself? I mean, are you always motivated to learn more?
And I suppose, yes, I suppose in terms of I'm always learning myself, and I always say that every day is a school day, to be honest, in terms of trying to improve and read up on things. So certainly I'd regularly be reading various newsletters that are marketing related, whether it be through the HubSpots, etc. of the world. But also I'm a member of the Marketing Institute of Ireland, who also would run kind of courses, webinars, seminars, events, that would be great for kind of keeping your skill set, I suppose, up to date and on trend. Equally the same with the Digital Marketing Institute. I attend a lot of webinars actually with them. They do quite a lot of online work. And again, that helps then to contribute for the likes of CPD hours for continuous professional development. But equally, in terms of continuously improving myself, it's not just the marketing side that I would improve on or focus on, but also the business side. So I've attended many business related courses, including Thrive by the Entrepreneurs Academy, and I've also done the management development program through my local enterprise office, and that was hugely I suppose empowering and great in terms of focus for me and for the business, and I suppose giving me the confidence as well to know that yes, the business plan I have is correct, is achievable, and keeping me on that kind of 5-year, 10-year, 15-year path, I suppose, in terms of the direction for the business and where I'm trying to bring it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking because you're always to keep yourself improving yourself, but you're also meeting people, and so it's not, you're not isolated. You're not alone in your learning. You're kind of meeting people and picking up lots of other things. Jill, who would have been your main who influenced you more? I mean, growing up and things like that.
Yeah. Great question as well, Myra, in terms of, I suppose, from my own parents, obviously, would have been hugely influenced by them. They actually themselves weren't entrepreneurs, as in they don't have their own business, but my grandparents on both sides of the family would have run their businesses. And my mother's parents, in particular, actually would have influenced me quite a lot. They ran a hardware store even down in County Kerry. And I would have spent many a summer down there working behind the till and serving customers and more observing, I suppose, my grandparents in terms of how they interacted with customers, how they, I suppose, ran their business, ordering stock, collecting stock, putting stock out, pricing stock, all that kind of stuff. I was always hugely interested in it, and I could happily spend a full day working away in the shop and taking little breaks, but was really inspired, I suppose, by that in terms of I would certainly consider them very good role models, and would actually often give my grandmother as an example in marketing training when we're talking about market research. she had a great gift of the gab and would have spoken to customers and potential customers that were in the store, just trying to understand what they liked, what they didn't like. And then she used that information then to order her stock for the next season, basically. And it was hugely clever, but free of charge. So I had to admire it. But equally, like, there's lots of lectures from various courses that I would have been inspired by previous managers that I would have worked with in industry. I would still be in touch with many of them and would certainly kind of like their managerial style or their leadership style. And I would certainly adapt that then myself in terms of what I liked and what I didn't like. In terms of when I was growing up in the big bad world of being managed by people. And I suppose I try to bring that then to my business today, in the fact that I wouldn't micromanage. I certainly leave the likes of Anya off to her own devices, which she happily does, yes, and very effectively does. But equally, I do step in when required and where required to give that guidance. And I suppose that's kind of been something that I have observed as has worked for me, I suppose, over the years quite well. So, yeah, I think lots of people probably have inspired me. I'm sure I could say the likes of the Simon Sinek's and the whatever else, but yes, I love their videos on the why and various different things. But equally, I think close to home, it was probably my own upbringing and the people that probably surrounded me have influenced me to, I suppose, to be the person, yes, I am today and to have developed the business that I have developed today.
I have a vision of you being quite tiny, just about above the counter, and loving every minute of being allowed behind the counter.
I probably was. The head was probably barely surfacing over it.
Which is brilliant. What advice would you give to somebody, and this is the hard question now, what advice, yeah, would you give to somebody starting out in business, opening their own business?
Oh gosh, that's a great question as well. So in terms of knowing your numbers is probably hugely important, and I'm not the world's greatest person at maths or accounting, and that's why I have a wonderful accountant watching my back, I suppose, and helping me. But in terms of, I still have to know my numbers. I need to know what I need to achieve each month or each year to stay afloat. And equally as well, obviously I was very lucky, Myra, in the fact that I had redundancy behind me to help me in terms of having that nest egg to get started with and to be my income, I suppose, essentially for the initial kind of couple of years of business. Because it is hard when you start out, and often the money that you take in, you do have to invest back into the business, so whether it be through websites or whether it be through marketing, advertising, etc. But a big thing for me, I suppose, as well, if I was to look at myself 5 years ago, I definitely didn't have the confidence that I have today in the self-belief. And I think that that kind of came with time, that I learnt it, and I suppose I got over that imposter syndrome somewhat, albeit I think we all have an element of it in us somewhere. But I think the self-belief is hugely important, and writing that story for yourself of, yeah, what is going to happen in 5 years' time and where am I going to bring this business to? Because for me, it's writing it down. So whether it be having it on the laptop or whether it be having it on a notebook that I refer back to, it makes me accountable, I suppose. So I think that for me helps, I suppose, in terms of the goal of the self-belief and getting there. And the other thing is surrounding yourself by the right people. So whether that be networking, and I know that that's how I came across yourself, Myra, actually, as well, yes, was through lovely networks. And I think that's really beneficial as well, of surrounding yourself by the right people and the right network. So again, I've attended many network events over the years and run by various networks, and some were for me, some absolutely weren't for me. And I know I would give the examples even as well to people when they're talking about networking of, if you feel like the total imposter in the room and you're always made feel like that, well then possibly that's not the right network for you. So I'd certainly say trial and error, that sometimes you need to try a few to understand which is the right one for you, essentially. But also another important point, Myra, is to value yourself. So it's believing that you actually can deliver this product, service, whatever it be that you offer in your business, and valuing it in terms of not just knowing that you can do it, but also actually placing a financial value on it, in terms of you need to know your numbers of what you need to make per day, week, month, year to take over, but also that you can stand over your price. and believe in that, because that would be another thing that I often come across when working with businesses. Pricing is another part of marketing. It's one of the 4 P's, the 5 P's, the 7 P's, whatever you read in terms of marketing theory. But the price, if you overprice, you can certainly come down on price. But if you've charged too little, it's very hard to go back up on your price then to increase, I suppose, essentially. So that would be something that I suppose, again, I was taught and probably heard, but it was probably when I actually experienced it myself that I went, now I understand that, yes, you need to kind of figure out what do I need to earn over a year, basically, tot up all your outgoings personally and business-wise, and then divide that out by the number of weeks that you can work in a year or that you will work in a year. And then that helps to focus the mind then in terms of actually price that needs to be charged and valuing it. Yeah, and being able to stand over that.
I'm getting cold here now because I've never jumped. I've always been an employee. And so I think anyone that, I think, what you call it, I think jumping off the cliffs of Moher might be easier in ways. And I think what you've done is extraordinary. Jill, what
do you do?
No, absolutely extraordinary. What do you do to switch off now?
Yeah, I suppose, again, I find that very difficult at the beginning in business. I find that I was always switched on and found it very difficult to take the time out and time off, because particularly in those startup years, you feel that you should be busy and should always be doing something in the business. And then I kind of realised as time went on that, yes, there are peaks and troughs and there are kind of quieter times. And yeah, take Christmas off, because who wants to hear from you at Christmas time anyway? And summer holidays, again, take your time off when kind of things are a little bit quieter. So that's something that's kind of taken me a while to learn. But then in terms of switching off, I suppose a great thing that I would do in between various clients that I would work with during a day is I just, the fact that I'm working from home and working remotely, it's great. I can just run out and grab a quick walk, get a bit of breath of fresh air. And also in the last few months, I was roped into signing up for a local triathlon, which is called the King of Greystones, run for a local charity, the Gavin Glynn Foundation. It's basically to help with childhood cancer treatment. And essentially, I am doing my first ever triathlon, which is a swim, a cycle and a run, which I would happily do individually. But putting it all together is quite the challenge, and trying to work up the kilometres of all of them. But I would say I'm actually really enjoying that, because that's hugely helping me to switch off. Because obviously, if I'm in the sea swimming, I'm conscious of trying to stay alive in the water and keep moving. So things like that actually are quite good, actually, obviously for mental health and all the rest as well. But equally for switching off from work, I personally find it great actually being able to kind of do some kind of exercise. And if it happens to be something that's happily raising funds for charity as well, all the better, I suppose, as well.
Jill, I just want to go back on something just there. As you said, you're doing the triathlon for a local Gavin Glynn Foundation. Is that for a child?
So basically, Gavin Glynn is a local child that passed away a few years ago. I think it's about 7 or 8 years ago that he passed away, and he was age 4.
Oh my goodness.
And he had terminal cancer, unfortunately, but his parents travelled to get treatment for him, etc. And they understood the financial difficulties for families when they do need to travel to, whether it be to Germany or whether it be to America, because often the whole family needs to travel, and that's time out of work, the expense of the travelling, staying for X number of weeks, etc. So his parents, John and Jane Glynn, set up the Gavin Glynn Foundation in his honour to basically help other families that have to travel with their child when they receive the devastating news that their child has cancer, and it's treatment possibly that they can't get in Ireland and they need to travel like that to Germany, etc., or France, or there's various different locations where they get treated. And they do huge fundraising efforts. They're quite the local celebrities, I suppose, here locally. I'm based near Greystones in Wicklow, but obviously the fundraising goes far and wide. And I suppose I always observed the story of little Gavin when he was alive, and the journey that they went on, and hugely admired his parents for their tenacity and what they do, I suppose, in terms of continuing the support for other families, and keeping that kind of flame lit, I suppose, for them. So that is why I crazily signed up for a triathlon for my first ever to help raise funds.
Well, I think that's absolutely admirable, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. Jill, unfortunately, our time is coming to an end, and I'm going to say thank you. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. So, Jill Lush, thank you very much, and I hope to chat with you very soon. So, have a good day, and the very best of luck with your business. Many thanks for taking time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Myra. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.